Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Well, welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Now, today I have a guest. Steve Bealey is here with us today, and I'm going to introduce Steve in just a moment. But first, I always want to take a moment to thank all of you for spending your valuable time here with me on the show. I am so honored that you do that. Now, I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. Now, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world. You love helping others live their dream. Perhaps that's you, and that's why you've decided to join us here in the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show with insights to help you on your entrepreneur journey. Now, make sure you check out the show page before you leave. There's always a gift for you there and links to connect with me as well as my guest. And I've also added a donate link as well. I've had some requests to do that. So if you find these shows of value and you want to help to be able to continue this, obviously, costs a little bit. So if you're so inclined and you want to help me out, I thank you in advance. Now, perhaps you have a message to share. I always love having guests on the show. Reach out to me if you would like to reach people all over the world with your message. Now, let me introduce our guest for today. I'm so excited to have Steve here. Steve Bealey lives in San Francisco with his wife and two cats. He's been in the financial industry for over 11 years. He's a certified financial planner, practitioner, and he's an accredited portfolio management supervisor. Published a book in 2017 called Financial Success Starts Now, The Young Person's Guide to Money in America. And it's geared toward helping young people especially make smart financial decisions on their path to grow wealth and build a secure future. Join me now in welcoming Steve Bealey to the show. Well, welcome, Steve. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us on The Holistic Entrepreneur. I know that, money is a important topic for lots of people, and I'm really enjoy our conversation today.
Well, good. I'm happy to be on, Bonnie. Thank you for having me as your guest.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? Would you share with us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today and your book, why you wrote the book you wrote when you did?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think I kind of have a unique way that I got into the profession in that, or maybe it's not so unique, but I really got into it pretty fresh out of college. And that's the financial services, financial industry. And the two motivations, one, I was fresh out of college and needed work and knew somebody who was looking to hire somebody. And two, I really wanted to learn about personal finance for myself. So I was embarking on my young adult life and starting to, earn some money and realized there's a whole world of things out there that I don't know about. And as much as I took a class or two in college and read up on personal finance and investing, as much as I could, just more from an interest perspective, I didn't know a whole lot. And it, especially, I think for a lot of people, it seems like personal finances are kind of shrouded in mystery. Mm-hmm. And there's all this investments and taxes and insurance and how does it all work? So I wanted to know how it all worked. And I thought, what better way to do that than to work in the industry? And I think, unlike a lot of people my age, I'm in my mid-30s. I pretty much stuck with the same profession pretty shortly after college. So I've been in that world for over 11 years now, and I kind of advanced through that, got my licenses and designations, got my CFP certification, and just recently my APMA, which is Accredited Portfolio Management Advisor. And I've just kind of been working through the ranks and really like it and realized I had a head for it. And like I said, but initially when I got into it, I wanted to learn for myself. And a year ago, in about the summer of 2017, I published my first book, which is called Financial Success Starts Now, The Young Person's Guide to Money in America. And I wanted to put out a book, and I like writing. And when I was thinking of things to write about, things that might be valuable that people would want to read, I got to thinking a lot of what I hear from clients or from friends or from people I know, things like, gosh, I wish I would have started this when I was younger. Or I wish I would have started sooner. Or, you know, man, I wish I knew about this stuff when I was younger. Or for people I know who have kids who are maybe in their teen or early adult years, asking me, gosh, is there any resource for my kids that could maybe help them get an education on how to manage their finances and how money works? And so that was really the genesis of it, of that being the topic for my book. And I wrote it like I was speaking to my 18 to 20 year old self, just trying to write something that I thought I would have wanted to have at that point in my life.
Oh, that's so, and it's so needed, yeah, I would imagine, because, you know, you're right. I mean, people don't talk about money all that much. And certainly people don't know, even people who are older like myself, it's like, okay, I said that. I wish I would have known that back then, you know? And so You doing this for people when they're in their younger years, so that they don't make maybe the mistakes that some other people did or whatever, is so helpful. So you talk about, you know, sort of that personal finance 101, you know, the stuff you need to know. If somebody was coming to you, you know, either in your business as a practitioner or just talking about your book, somebody comes to you and says, okay, I know nothing. Where do I start? Where do you start with people?
Good question. I think probably the first cornerstone to start with, and I think one of the most important elements of personal finance, and a lot of this stuff really, when you get down to it, is basic. You can get into the weeds and you could get really technical if you wanted to, but you don't have to with most of these things. But I'd say the first place to start for almost anybody would be starting with your cash flow. And that's just money coming in, money going out. Do I have more coming in than's going out? That's a good thing. Hey, I got a surplus. Or do I have more going out than is coming in? Hey, that's a bad thing. That's a deficit. And I've got to solve that. So probably step one, getting a handle on what are you earning? Is there any way to increase what you're earning? And then two, what are you spending? Where is it going? Does it need to be going there? And then the bottom line after that, and kind of where you go from there is, hey, if I've got a surplus, what do I do then? And do I invest it? Do I put it in my savings account? Do I reinvest in my business? So you really can't make those decisions unless you know what's going on with your cash flow. And is there a leftover or is there a deficit? And then from there, I think you could springboard into some of the other areas of your finances.
Oh, that's such a good point. You know, I know so many entrepreneurs who don't really even know what their cash flow is, how much is coming in versus how much is going out. And they think, oh, I'm not spending money frivolously. I'm not, you know, going out to dinner every night and all that sort of thing. So there must be enough money, but they're spending it on other stuff. And most of the time it's probably business related stuff, but you still should kind of know what's going in and out so that you can manage it better, I would imagine.
Yeah, that awareness is really important. And you're right. You know, maybe it's great, and maybe you're not spending frivolously on things you don't need to. I find, especially with the younger demographic, they tend to do more of that. And as you get older, you maybe get a little more responsible with your money because you learn some life lessons. But
yeah, I'm showing my age there in my comment, right?
Well, no, but I mean, it's true. I mean, I think being frugal and not spending frivolous is important. But even if you aren't doing that and everything's great, you got to know what you are spending on and you got to know what's left over, because that without that, you can't really plan, right? You can't plan for the future. If you say, oh, I need to save X per month to be able to reach Y goal 5 years from now, if you don't know what's left over at the end of every month, you don't know if that's even feasible.
Right. And especially for entrepreneurs, maybe more so for newer entrepreneurs, in the beginning, there are so many things to spend your money on, you know, to learn this, to get this software, to get whatever it is. The list is humongous, or can be humongous. And people sometimes develop in those early stages, especially what I like to call, and what many people call, shiny object syndrome. And they end up spending, you know, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. But it all adds up, especially when a lot of those things are like monthly, you know, recurring things that you have to pay for.
I've seen that too. And it's, I think anytime you make a purchase, you really got to ask yourself, in any kind of purchase, if it's investing in your business or something in your personal life or a financial product, you know, like an investment of some sort, you've really got to ask yourself, what is this going to do for me? What's my return on investment going to be? And I think you're right, with an entrepreneur starting out, all these things look so great and it's going to be the next big thing, and you could get easily led astray or going down paths that really aren't going to give you much return on investment.
Yeah. And I've worked with several clients that one of the first things we do is I have them take inventory, make a list of all the things you're paying for every month. Do you use them? Do you need them? Most of the time they don't even, you know, I forgot about this, but they're paying something every month for it. So especially for the entrepreneur folks, and there are more and more younger people becoming entrepreneurs at an earlier age, you know, according to national statistics, that, you know, it behooves you to know, it's basic to know what's going in, what's coming out. That whole cash flow issue, I think, is so critical and isn't always paid attention to enough. Do you find that in the people that you work with?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's tricky because you mentioned sort of what you were talking about, things you're subscribing to. Those are a little bit easier to get a handle on because they're what you would call fixed expenses, right? Mm-hmm. Things that they're the same every month, your utility bill, your rent or your mortgage, your property tax or your insurance payments. You know what those are, and it's very easy with a little bit of digging, maybe a half hour worth of work, to say, okay, these are all my fixed recurring expenses. And absolutely, I think that's a great exercise that you have your people go through, just to get a handle on, okay, what are those? And do I need all of those? But then where it gets really tricky is the discretionary expenses or the day-to-day expenses or the lifestyle expenses, because those are so intertwined with where do I go eat lunch and how many times do I have to fill up my car with gas and do I get a Starbucks in the morning or, you know, all these little things that add up. What kind of clothes do I wear? And they ultimately kind of define the lifestyle you're leading. And so it can be harder to track those, and it can be sometimes harder to change those too, even though those are a lot of times the things you have a lot more control over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. So how does somebody know that they're financially stable, say as an entrepreneur, you know, because this is the Holistic Entrepreneur Show. So how, as a business person themselves, how do you know if you're financially stable or not? Are there things that you look for in people to help them to discern that?
Well, I would say, you know, back to, not to harp on it too much, but back to the cash flow, is my business profitable, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so on the personal side, you've got your cash flow statement, my income, my expenses. On the business side, you effectively have the same thing with your P&L, right? Your profit and your loss, mm-hmm. and it's effectively an income and expense statement. So is there more coming in than there is going out? And if there's more going out than there is coming in, is there a light at the end of the tunnel, right? Do I see that changing? Is that a temporary thing while I'm building some things out that are going to become profitable later? And so that's certainly a sign of financial stability, financial health. And then two, I would say you want to have that surplus because you really need to build a reserve, because especially as a business owner, I would imagine there's months where you might have that deficit and you might need to take on some debt just because things dry up, projects don't work out as planned. So another sign of stability is having a nice reserve, a nice buffer, a nice cushion in place, so that if something does go wrong or even if an opportunity comes up, you've got the financial wherewithal to be able to take advantage of it.
Mm. You know, and that is such a good point. And I think, you know, it's that money in the bank or in your mattress or wherever you keep it. I mean, some people still do that, but hopefully not younger people or entrepreneurs do that. But I know some older people who still do that. But, you know, and that kind of leads me to my next question, because it's, you know, part of it is, you know, how much you can control and how much you spend and take in and all that. And then the other part is, What you don't necessarily have as much control over, at least that's what people believe, is the whole taxing situation and all of that. How do you help people through that to control how much they are taxed? Because some people who know how to do it can save money on taxes, and some people really get lose a lot on taxes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the tax code is very complicated. I mean, I think I'm pretty well versed, but you know, by no means an expert. And you know, for starters, having a good CPA or enrolled agent or tax advisor that really knows their stuff and can help you make sure you're taking advantage of all the tax opportunities that you can. But with that, I think what goes into that is really just knowing, getting educated on the tax code and things that are deductible versus not deductible. And for me, working in, you know, more the field of personal finance, I think it's important to know the different ways that your assets or your investments can be taxed. Mm. And so as you're accumulating and investing and growing your wealth, that can have a huge impact on kind of the future of your assets is how those assets get taxed. And, you know, so just quickly on that, I break it into three buckets. There's tax me as I go. So that would be like your checking account, your savings account. Anytime there's interest, dividends, capital gains in a regular brokerage account, you're paying taxes as that income happens. Mm-hmm. There's tax me later, which would be maybe like a traditional 401k, traditional IRA, these quote unquote pre-tax accounts where you're really sheltering money from taxes as you put it in there. And when it's in there, it's not getting taxed as it grows. So unlike that first bucket of money, it's not getting taxed as it grows, but you will get taxed later typically on that pre-tax money. So when you pull those dollars out, you will pay taxable income. And depending on when you pull those dollars out, you might pay a penalty on it too if you take them out prematurely. And then there's the third bucket, which I call tax me now, but never again. And that would be like a Roth IRA, Roth 401k, maybe a 529 plan for college saving, these kinds of things where you don't necessarily get any kind of tax break for putting money in these plans. So they don't help you today, but once they're in there, if, as long as you stick to the rules, like, you know, leave it in there long enough, don't take it out prematurely or use it for whatever qualified expense it's there for, the money comes out, including all the growth, tax-free. So that can be a great thing. And I think just knowing how your assets are being taxed and spreading it out amongst those three different buckets. And also planning too, things you can do are, let's say you're a business owner and you know you're going to be in a really high tax year. You had a big job come through. You made a lot more than you did last year and a lot more than you think you're going to make next year. That might be a good year to put money in that second bucket, right? Hey, save me on taxes now, I'll pay it later, because when you're in those higher brackets, that could be more beneficial to you. On the flip side, if you're maybe having a lower income year, that pre-tax, that tax deduction, maybe doesn't do you as much good. So kind of, you know, that's one way a business owner, I think, has a lot more control than your typical W-2 employee is planning, when do I take deductions? Do I take them now or do I take them later? And where do I accumulate my money? Do I take it in the, do I put it in the tax me now, but never again, or the, hey, I don't want to pay tax on this year, but I'll pay it later. So those are some ideas there around taxes. Hopefully that's helpful.
Mm, oh yeah. And you know what, when we talk about, you know, people who are younger and maybe just graduating college, you know, and the whole millennial thing, what it makes me think of is not just, you know, where they're going after college and the in and out of their cash flow, but the debt that they've probably accumulated yeah. from going to school.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? I mean, are there tips or you know, suggestions that you have for people that will make that a little easier than, because that's got to be tremendous for some people.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I think it's the day and age we're in where college has gotten so much more expensive than it was even 15 years ago when I was in college. It's a lot more expensive now than it was then, and you know, certainly a lot more expensive than it was 30 or 40 years ago. And the readily available debt that you can use to pay for college is, I think, you know, just a theory. I don't know if there's facts to back it up, but I think that's part and parcel of why it's been able to get so expensive, is because it's so easy to finance it through debt. And it is unfortunate to see people getting out of school with sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And I think in terms of debt, I mean, the easy answer for how to deal with it is pay it off. But I know that's easier said than done, right? You have to have a really nice cash flow to be able to do that, because ultimately you want to limit the amount you pay in interest. That's just money going out of your pocket towards a lender. But at the same time, you have to look at your specific situation. And if, you know, if money's really tight, it might make sense with student loans specifically to pick the repayment plan that lets you kind of kick the can down the road. Not that I think that's long-term a healthy thing to do, but sometimes you might just have to. And by that, I mean the payment plans that let you pay as little as possible. Mm-hmm. And the thing there is it creates more flexibility. You have to have some discipline in the long run to get this stuff paid down. But what I mean by flexibility is if you only have to pay $100 a month versus being forced to pay $500 a month, you could still pay the $500 a month if you wanted to get it paid down sooner. But if you have a month where cash flow is tight, or a year where cash flow is tight and you don't have a job, well, then you're not stuck making that $500 a month payment, or else you go into default. You have the option to make the $100 a month payment, but if cash flow is good, you could always pay more. Now, again, that's easier said than done, because usually people will just default and pay the minimum amount until you get to a point where you're just sick of it and want to get it paid off.
Yeah. And I don't even know if they do this anymore, but when I was in college, I went to school a few different times, long story. But anyway, I kept deferring my school loans because I went back to school. Do they still do deferred loans?
Yes, they do. And there's a couple of different kinds of student loans. Some are subsidized, which basically means the federal government is paying the interest while you're in school, and then interest doesn't start accruing until you graduate. And then some that are unsubsidized, which interest is accruing. You don't have to make your payments while you're in school, but the interest is accruing, so those loans are growing even before you graduate. And they still do the deferral. I definitely see that, where people have gone back to school and gone back to school and then done that some more and keep kind of kicking the can down the road, so to speak. But the problem there is, of course, the interest keeps accruing and those loan balances keep growing. And then by the time you do start making those payments, they're a lot more burdensome than they might have been.
Yeah, unless you do what I did. And now this is many years ago, and my original education is as a registered nurse, and then I became a nurse practitioner after that. And so sometimes, and I don't even know if they do this anymore, but some hospitals and some clinics would help you to pay off your loans if you worked for them for a year.
Yeah, I do. I think
that anymore.
There are programs out there like that, and I think it depends, like you said, hospital to hospital. I also know that if you have federal loans and work as a teacher, or potentially, I also believe, I think I've heard this, like a healthcare professional, a nurse or a doctor in underserved communities underserved areas, I believe you have to work there for 10 years. And there are certain kinds of loans where they'll basically just be forgiven after you do your time, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are all sorts of ways, especially for young people, especially who have huge debt from college, that, you can make it doable. It's not so overwhelming.
Yep.
So, and I think I totally agree with what you said before, working with someone, a CPA, someone who does, accounting, finances, because I'm not an expert at that, so I would have to get help from someone who is the expert at that.
Right. Yeah. Get someone who actually knows what they're doing and knows what they're talking about. And, taxes aren't always complicated. If you don't have a complicated situation, right, your taxes generally aren't going to be that complicated, but a lot of times they are. And a lot of times it helps to have, to have a professional who could point out things that you might not be aware of, or make sure you're compliant with laws that you might not be aware of, and all sorts of things.
Yeah. So if somebody comes to you, or actually I should ask you this, if I was going to refer somebody to you, what kind of person would that be?
In my professional my day job, so to speak, mm-hmm. I usually am working with more financially responsible people who have accumulated quite a bit, and life's getting a little more complicated, and they just you know, they say, hey, look, I need someone to help me manage all this. That could come in a lot of different forms.
Okay. So what would you say to somebody who isn't in a place where they've got, you know, surplus, and maybe they're like at a point where, okay, I'm out of college, I've got all these loans, and I've got a job, or maybe they're going into business for themselves as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea of where you would start with them in terms of, okay, let's have a plan here. Let's set a, because it's all about strategy and plan, both to build a business and to be financially successful.
Yeah. And I think as a business owner, it can be especially challenging because there's a lot more unknowns, right? Mm-hmm. Income isn't, hey, I know I get this every 2 weeks. And we've got this 401k plan with this match. It's kind of on you to figure it out and on you to set all that stuff up. So I would, you know, back to the basics, I think the first two building blocks of financial success, and this is what I get into in my book as well, is, cash flow and cash reserves. So it's boring as it sounds, that's kind of the building blocks. And I think for your personal finances, get a handle on that. And then if you're a business owner, for your business finances. So you almost have to do double the work because you want to do a cash flow statement for your business. And you want to have a personal cash reserve, right? If something goes wrong, if business income dries up, if I have an emergency of some sort. But you want to have a cash reserve for your business as well. So having that buffer in place. And when you're starting out, those might be one and the same, because I know most entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, there is no line between me and my business. It's very blurry. It's just kind of, that's me. That's what I do.
Yeah.
But I think as your business grows, starting to think of it that way as, okay, I'm going to get the financial health of my business in order, ultimately to help the financial health of me, the person, in order. So kind of segregating your personal finances from your business finances could be important too as things grow.
Yeah. Well, and liability wise is protection for you as well as a person, as opposed to your business.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Right. In terms of legal structure, mm-hmm. of your business and yeah, if my business gets sued, does that flow through to me as a person, or mm-hmm. is it just kind of wrapped up to my business? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many things. You know, we've talked about a bunch of things today, and I know that there's a bunch more to talk about, but we can't, I guess, talk all day. But I know that life is busy and people's brains are full of stuff. If there was one thing that you really wanted people to leave with, that takeaway message that you want them to get from our conversation today, what do you think that would be, Steve?
Well, this is going to be somewhat vague and high level, but philosophically, what I really want to get across to people is how you define success, I think, is really important in your life as you go through it and you build and you grow. And one thing that I suggest people do is just to set goals, track your progress towards them, but pat yourself on the back for making incremental progress along the way. And so it's one thing to set a goal, and I'll just use an example. I want to have a $20,000 cash reserve by the end of the year or in the next 12 months. Okay, that's great, but that can seem daunting if you're only able to sock away $100 a month. So rather than beating yourself up over, gosh, I'm never going to get there, reward yourself when you hit the first 1,000. Or kind of track your progress and look at those milestones and set those little milestones. So it's sort of like you're eating the elephant one bite at a time, as opposed to feeling overwhelmed by the enormity of it. And that can, you know, I just use cash reserve as an example. It could be paying off debt. It could be, you know, maybe you want to accumulate a certain amount in your retirement account. It could be you want to buy a house in 5 years. Just make incremental progress, and that's a lot better than feeling overwhelmed and just not doing anything. So look at things head on, educate yourself on how the system works, and just track your progress and reward incremental progress along the way. And that's in my mind a success.
Oh, that's such great advice. You know, I say all the time, it takes a lot of little baby steps to get to any goal. And we don't recognize or notice those baby steps, and that's exactly what you're talking about. So thank you so much for sharing that, because I think we beat ourselves up a bit too much. I know after talking to you, Steve, that other people are going to want more information, you know, they want more of Steve Beely. So what's the best way? And I'll put the link to your website and to your book on the show page so that people can just click on it and get there. But how can get people get more of Steve Beely?
You know, the website's a great way to get in contact with me and to learn more about the book. If you're, you know, kind of a young person yourself, or you have a young person in your life that you think might benefit from some fundamental education that's concise and easy to read. And you could also contact me through the website. It's just stevebeely.com, stevebeely.com. And there's a contact section there, and that'll go straight to my inbox, and would be happy to respond if anybody reaches out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I know you're a busy person, so I so appreciate you taking time to share all of these insights with us here on the Holistic Entrepreneur today.
Ellen, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you, Bonnie.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.